When our Lord wanted to drive home a truth, he told a story. And the greatest story ever told is the story of the prodigal son. Every minister has tried to preach it. Musicians write songs about it. There have been movies made about the story. If you know only one story in the Bible, most likely you know this one. The story of the prodigal son. But let not our familiarity with a story blind our eyes to its meaning. For whatever your history, wherever you are today, whatever you hope for tomorrow, you are in this story. In every word, on every line, you and I are part of the story. It was written for you and for me. A certain man had two sons. The first one we know is a prodigal. He wants it all. He thinks life is to be found in faraway places. His favorite words are me and my and I. So he says to his father at the beginning of the story, give me the share of property that will belong to me. Don't put me in your will. Write me a check. I want the cash today. Now, we would consider such a request to be rude and crude and greedy, to say the least. We would think a person to do this would be a self-centered individual, and indeed he is. But we don't get the story. You see, the story was couched in Middle Eastern culture, not Western civilization. For any son to come to his father and to make this request was in essence to say to his dad, drop dead. You're in the way. Get out of here. I need to live my life. You got to get that part of the story. So it comes as nobody's surprise that he wastes his life and while living. You knew that's where the story was headed. It happens every day, day after day, in all kinds of experiences of life. We generally like to project this prodigal son to be a young man, maybe right out of college or out of high school, who's got some wild oats to sow and a fling to run. But maybe he was a middle-aged man. Maybe he was trying to find his lost youth and was searching for something that had slipped away. Or even worse, maybe he was an old fool, and there are no fools like old fools who strike out in life to try to make it on their own. Whatever his age or stage of life, he reckons with the truth, money won't buy us love, and travel won't buy us happiness, and when we get what we want, it may not be what we need at all. And if you set out to live your life purely from selfish reasons, the result will be a pig pen of one kind or another before life is over. Everybody knows the story. You've seen it and felt it in life. But here's the question. Why do we like this prodigal son? What's intriguing about him? Is it that there's a little rebellion down in the soul of us all who'd like to throw it all to the wind and go out and live it up and live it out without responsibility? Is there something prodigal about us all? Or is it that we admire this prodigal son because he comes to his senses and he travels back to find his father? And he longs to hear those words, welcome home, my child. Come on in. There's not a person sitting in this sanctuary at this hour today that does not long to hear those words, welcome home. Come on in. And if you haven't heard it from your earthly father, then you even desire it more from your heavenly father. We all long to be loved. And a certain man had two sons. A certain man had two sons. Now this guy's some kind of dad. Everybody'd like to have a dad like this, wouldn't they? He's gracious and generous and compassionate and forgiving. Who wouldn't like to have a parent like this? And so the son says to him, in his own self-centeredness, give me the part of the property that belongs to me. And so he divided his property between them. I've often read this story and wondered what I might say to one of my two sons if they came to me and made such a request. Most of what comes to my mind I can't repeat in a public place. There are some things I thought of, like, dream on. Like, get a life. Like, who do you think you are anyway? That would have been my response. But this father's better than I. He understands that love is not control. He knows that many waters cannot quench love and that many rivers cannot wash it away. And he knows that you can't dam love up without it becoming stagnant. And so he lets him go. Turns him loose. He's some kind of dad. You know? He's compassionate. He loves. He loves even when it hurts. And let me tell you the truth, folks. If you're going to love, you're going to hurt. C.S. Lewis said it well years ago when he says, if you don't ever want to be hurt, don't ever love anything. Don't even love your dog. Because to love means that you're going to hurt sometime in life. He's a compassionate father. Some of us are old enough here to have our sons and daughters go away. Even when it's the best of circumstances and it's the time for them to go. I don't know many parents that see them leave without some tears in their eyes, some sorrow in their hearts. Hard to let go. And when you let one go, knowing that he's on his way to trouble, and when you let one go knowing that the end might be death, or when you try to live with the realities of death, the death of a son or a daughter, you know what pain it's all about. It's a compassionate father. He goes out to this elder son and says to him, I think some of the finest words that are in the Bible, anywhere that you can find, you've been with me all the time. And everything that I have is yours. Everything that I have is yours. Why don't you come on in? Wouldn't you like to have a dad like that? Really? No, let me change the question. Do you have any desire to become a parent like that? Is there any hunger in your heart to be a person of love and grace and forgiveness? Ah, the world knows everything about prodigal sons, and we know everything about elder brothers. The world's full of both. But what about compassionate, loving, forgiving, gracious parent the world needs. Some parents like that. He's some kind of dad. Which brings me to another question. Where's the mother in this story? Did you ever think about that? Everybody's got a mother. Some kind or another. Everybody's got a mother. Where's the mother in this story? I asked a minister and a musician and a bishop and a marriage counselor this week. Where's the mother in this story? I got some interesting responses. They were Methodists, so she was probably in the kitchen fixing the fatted calf. They were Baptists, so she was probably graciously submitting like one of the slaves. Maybe she was a liberated Episcopalian and she was out pursuing her own career. More likely, maybe she was a traditional Jewish wife who's doing all the work and getting hardly any of the credit. Where's the mother in this story? You ever wonder about that? Back in the mid-1600s, the famous artist Rembrandt did a painting of the prodigal son coming home. It's a fabulous painting, and it hangs in St. Petersburg in Russia today. It's a beautiful picture of a homecoming. The father is there. The prodigal is there. The prodigal is on his feet, on his knees, barefooted. And the father in all of his robes are reaching over the son with his arms on his shoulders, his hands on his shoulders. But Rembrandt, all of those years ago, did a most interesting thing. In fact, a print of this painting is over in the chapel. You may want to study it. I hope it's still over there. No, it's not. It's coming back over there. I got a feeling. I got a feeling it's going to be resurrected. It's back over there. I'd never seen it before until Henry Nouwen's writings pointed me to it. You got to look at the hands of the father. The left hand is big and strong. And it's pressing into the flesh of the prodigal. And the right hand doesn't fit this man at all. It's feminine and soft. And it's caressing and touching the shoulder of the prodigal son. Now, isn't it interesting what this artist has done for us? You can find it on the internet, by the way, if you want to see it there, take a look at it. Trying to say in the hands of this parent that God is both a father and a mother. That God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in the time of trouble. But that God is something else. She is as tender as a loving mother who's touching a child that has come home. How was it Isaiah put it? Isaiah said, "Would a mother ever abandon her own child?" And then as if remembering, yeah, there was some word I heard one time about some mother doing that. He comes back and says, even if a mother were to happen to do that, which is unimaginable, I want to tell you about my God, said Isaiah. She will not abandon you. Not now. Not ever. Wouldn't you like to know a God like that? Wouldn't you? A certain man had two sons. It'd be nice to stop the story here. I'm about out of time anyway. But I wouldn't be fair with you if I stopped it here, would I? Because life is not that way. There's an elder son. He's been at home. He hears the party. He's mad. He's grumbling. He's griping. He's complaining. He says, who has stayed around here all these years and done all the work? Who sat here night after night after night and watched our parents grieve themselves half to death? What do you mean, coming home? Now the problem is that there's some of the elder brother in every one of us. If you read the first verse of chapter 15, which is a trilogy of lost things, it says these parables are told because the scribes and the Pharisees were complaining that Jesus was spending too much time with sinners and tax collectors. So if you wonder who it's written to, just go back and read it. It's all there. And there's an elder brother in all of us. And you go out being merciful and extending love in extravagant kind of ways like these parents do, and somebody's going to hate you for it. And if you connect in a family that believes in grace and mercy and forgiveness and new starts, there are going to be people in your family not going to like you. I tell you. See, we think grace is a fabulous idea until it comes to putting it into practice with people. And then we're not so sure. How dare he could be coming back home when I've been here all along? What are you going to do with your elder brother when it's you in the story? So how does the story end? What happens? Doesn't say, does it? You know why? Because you've got to finish the story. That's why. That makes it a great story. You're going to decide the end. What are you going to do? You're going to continue to be the elder brother sitting outside complaining about all these people getting mercy and grace when you've done all the work? You're going to run off again, can't stand it in home, so you're going to take off on your own as maybe the prodigal did? You're going to come to the party and celebrate as you're invited to do. What are you going to do with this story? I want to give you an invitation. Simple. come home. It's where you belong. Come home. And there's somebody here today who's tired of running and wore out with being resentful, and you just ought to come on home. Ask God to help you be a parent like this, an adult like this. The world needs you. Maybe you need to pray for some sons and daughters who've wandered away.